That was the jig from Sonata in G by the late Baroque English composer Elisabetta de Gambarini, and it was played by the Italian pianist Margherita Toretta. I'm Erica Wirth, and welcome to this pianist podcast. Today I am catching up with Margherita Toretta, who talks to me about her discovery of de Gambarini's music. Margherita has recently released de Gambarini's complete keyboard works on the Piano Classics label. Hello, Margherita. It's lovely to meet you. It was so nice to read your interview inside the magazine earlier this year. Hello.
Very much.
You're welcome. So here we are again, and I'd like to talk to you about Elisabetta de Gambarini, excuse my Italian, I know she was English, the composer, and how you came across her music.
Yeah, so thank you very much. So I found out about Elisabetta de Gambarini's composition actually by chance, and I was watching a YouTube video of a concert which was organized by a British music festival in Buckinghamshire. And there was an ensemble with a harpsichord, the baroque cello and the recording, and a beautiful soprano. And they were played a song called Behold and Listen by this female composer, Elisabetta de Gambarini. And to me, it was a completely unknown name. So, and it was a kind of love at the first sight, because I love that music. And so I've done some researches about her, Elisabetta de Gambarini. And I just saw that only a few websites who celebrate women music show a little bit about her life. But there wasn't much about her, and then I saw that commercially there was only one record made actually 25 years ago by Professor Anthony Noble, but with a harpsichord.
Okay.
So then when I've tried to look at, to find out about the music, like scores, there was nothing but just manuscript. So except for actually one book edited by Maurizio Machella, which is an organist, Italian organist. So that's why I found her music. And then I was just curious and see, but why does nobody record her music and why nobody talk about her? So that's why I was very curious about her. And then I start my research.
Fantastic. So as you were doing your research, what did you find so special about her music that you wanted to carry on and record it?
Yeah. So when I found the manuscript and I found the music I've tried to play, and I find very beautiful. Well, if you look at the manuscript or the music is quite simple. It was written for a harpsichord, but I loved to improvise on her music and revitalize this music, because I'm a pianist, not the harpsichord. Yeah. I'm only a pianist. But the what I find is very special as well is that, first of all, she was the first female composer who published a collection of keyboard music. So she did a miracle, because she was the first woman who was able to compose in Britain music under her name, in a moment where women had no right, had no power, and in a moment where for women it was almost impossible to pursue a career. So I really empathized with her, and I became quite painfully aware that her achievement had been forgotten for many reasons, we say, because they will see for the maybe in this podcast, because she got married, and because also, you know, the most historians in our music literature were mainly men, and of course they give a priority to men's achievement, no, in often discounting women. So I find this is very special, that with this woman with so many talent fought the very difficult moment, and then she made it.
Okay, so are you saying that by marrying, then this affected her career?
Yes, because you know, as we know, that at time women could only perform their instrument at home. So in the 18th century, the piano start being, you know, be sold in Europe, and it was purchased by family in order to allow their daughter to study music, but definitely to attract a good husband. But one, you know, women, one they find the man, the husband, they could just abandon the arts and dedicating to themselves to raising children and the house. So Gambarini married in 1764 this French diplomat, Stephen Chazel. But at that time, this woman had established herself as one of the most important members of London society. But it's surprising that she disappeared from public records in early 1764, a year before her death. So in documents from the National Archives, we see that her disappearance from the London music scenes coincides with the beginning of this marriage, so which is was a violent marriage. So she got abused by this man.
This is rather tragic, absolutely.
A tragedy. And then also, you know, it's not just her, but also the mother. So basically, this man probably was abusing the Gambarini, but also her mother. He's trying also to kill them, something like that. So, you know, but this is very, it's very important to say that to these two extraordinary women brought him to court, and they were the first women who brought one of the first women in history that could bring a man to the court, no? And it's incredible, the incredible brave and courage. But unfortunately, this story of abuse and violence was minimized because almost erased. But because for political reasons, in favor of smoothing over England's relationship with the French ambassador. That's the
Yeah.
thing, yeah.
So, are you saying that her mu she already composed all this great music before her marriage?
Yeah, exactly. Yes, so she composed. So she started as a singer, but she became immediately. She started, and especially in 1748, composing beautiful music for keyboard. In this case, for harpsichord. But she was, you know, she had many talent because she was a composer. She was an organist. She was a harpsichordist. She managed a lot of things. But definitely, she wrote all those beautiful music before. For marriage, and she died, unfortunately died very, very, very young, very young. She was only 35 years old.
Oh dear, this is terribly tragic to hear all this, but the great thing is that you have now resurrected.
I tried to revitalize and bring her to life again.
That is amazing, amazing. So I mean, I'm gonna divert a bit. You, of course, her music was written for harpsichord. You as a performer, you've decided as a pianist, as a modern day pianist, you've decided to perform these works on your albums on a concert grand Steinway. How does that work for you as a pianist with her?
This is not something new because I also I love playing Baroque and late Baroque music with the piano, and I've actually recorded already a CD with actually more than one, but with Scarlatti music. So I recorded 20 keyboard sonatas for piano, and you know, pianists do this process. I mean, playing Baroque with a piano, but you know, this is to me, it's a very great process of creation because I like to improvise, I like to create on this music because the music maybe it might be quite simple, but
Yes.
we have the possibility to you know or to embellish this music with ornaments and make it very interesting. And this is very, for me, it's very fun as well because with our piano we can, you know, we can express, we can have a lot of type of sound and touch. So it's, I'm sure that Elisabetta, but for example, also Scarlatti, if would have had a piano, would be they would be happy to explore as many sound effect that they could, know with the piano. So definitely, it's very fun for me, and it's better than play. Well, you
Yeah.
know, when I was younger, I used to play other music, but now I just feel much more fun for me to play this kind of and revitalize forgotten composer and. Yeah, it's I
That's
love
great.
it. It's
Well, I mean,
awesome.
what's interesting, it also gives you the ability to improvise. A lot of musicians are very scared of improvising, and this is part of the thing for that period of music.
Yeah, it
Composers,
was a standard
performers would
performance
improvise.
practice. Yeah,
Yeah,
exactly. Yeah.
it's brilliant. Now, inside the next issue of our magazine, we are actually, because of you, because we got so excited by watching you on YouTube play Elisabetta de Gamberini's music, I've decided to publish Le Tambourine,
Yeah.
fun piece by her, which you perform so well, with great conviction. Is there any tips for learning this piece when readers start see this score? Any tips?
Yeah. So, the tambourine is, first of all, a dance who comes from the French folk traditions. And the tambourine gives a lot, it's the character of this composition is it's very vibrant, and definitely we need to play this small piece actually with a brisk tempo, and it's a very rapid and lively movement, which evoke a sense of enthusiasm and dynamism. Also, what we very important is to give a very good sense of rhythm, because the instrument is the tambourine is like it's a drum actually, right? So
Yeah.
it's a very we need to have this kind of percussive element, and
Yeah.
we have in this composition the broken octave in the left hand, which give actually a kind of a festive atmosphere. With the right hand, we can, it can be more melodic and singable. And why not? It's good to try to improvise. I mean, and it's not about be playing very fast, because
Oh.
in YouTube, yes, it was a video of me playing a concert where I played a bit fast. But in my recording CD, actually, I play a little bit slower. But it doesn't matter. It's more about character, more the quality of sound. Yeah, the
Yes.
staccato, the rhythm, the good tempo, the characters, the personality is very important for this tambourine.
That's great. Okay, thank you for that. Any other repertoire from her keyboard oeuvre that you would suggest that listeners, readers, piano lovers should try? Let's say they're of an intermediate level, they're not too advanced.
You mean for in this recording, right? In for Elisabetta de Gamberini's, yeah. So, well, I liked a lot the Giga, which is part of the Opus 2, intermixed with Italian English songs. So, in the Opus 2, and I really love also the sonatas, which is actually part of Opus 1, is Sonata number 5. This is
Okay.
my, but they're all beautiful. But I think it's very important that everyone try to find their own path, in the way they're playing. So ornament, embellishment, adding third or maybe brief cadenza. So
Wow.
it's good,
That's
yeah.
yeah, that's quite exciting to do. I mean, obviously her influences would have been the likes of Scarlatti. What is so unique about her own style?
Well, as you said, she brought a lot of inspiration from composers who probably lived in London or whose sonatas were available in London when she studied harpsichord in the 1840s. So definitely she was inspired by Domenico Scarlatti, by Pescetti, for example, Paradisi, Alberti, Galuppi, but and also Geminiani, who actually was a teacher, was her teacher. So but Gabbarini, I think she's part of the Galland style composer. So because her music is very elegant, it's simple. So she is apart from all Baroque polyphonies or contrapunt of the Baroque era. She's
Yeah.
more part of the Galland style, so with a nice melody, especially for the right hand, for top part, yes.
That's so interesting. And what's so you're giving me the name of all these Italiano composers, but and her name also is Italian, but she was British. She was an English composer. So
Yeah.
where does her name derive from, Elisabetta de Gamberini, such an Italian name?
Gambari, so he was born in London, but the parents were Italian because the father, Charles Gambarini, was born in Italy in the Tuscany. So the roots are from Tuscany, and the mother as well. The father was an art collector, was also, yes, he was, is a diplomat as well, but the mother was a singer, a harpsichordist and pianist living long. So they probably came to London many years before, but they were from Italy. That's why I'm Italian. So I think that who could better than me try to revitalize this woman? Yeah. Because I live in London for many years now. London and England is my home now, but of course I'm missing my country as well, so which is Italy. Yeah.
Wow. So what made you move to London?
Well, I came to London in the first time in 2015 for a concert. I played a concert at St. Martin's in the Fields and in the Steinway Hall, and it was my first time, and I actually felt great energy under my feet when I came to London. I loved the cities so much. A lot of art, a lot of things going on. So I was living in Italy in the north. I'm come from North Italy, and I just wanted to, I don't know, I just wanted to try and move here for a while, not for a long time, just maybe for a few months, but then I'm still here. So I had now it's I'm settled, so I don't. It's really my house now, and I'm happy to stay. I don't think I'm going back to Italy, but I'm happy to go for holidays and visit my family. But this is think England is now my new place. Yeah.
Oh my goodness, you've been here actually 10 years then.
Yeah,
10 years.
10 years. Yeah. Yeah.
Fantastic, fantastic. Okay, you've done these great albums, and I'll let re listeners know more about the albums at the end of this podcast. Will you be continuing with more Baroque music in the future? What are your future plans, recording wise and concert wise?
At the moment, well, I'm just released the CD, so at the moment I would like to promote this album as much as I can. But I've done last week, I launched the CD at the Italian embassy, and I was very worried because you don't know what to expect, because when you play Mozart, Chopin, or what to expect because people know this composer and kind of the feedback that you can receive. But with this means it was completely first time, so I didn't know, and it was so beautiful because it was a mix of play. I played some solo pieces, but also I played with an ensemble for flute, cello, and a soprano. And I told the story of this woman as a first person, as I embodied Elisabetta that night. So it was really moving, and audience were in tears. So it was so great success that then definitely I would like to push this project as much as I can and spread this music as much as I can in not only in England, in London, but also in Italy, or other institution in Europe would be very nice. So my project now is try to promote this woman as much as I can. And then in the future, I don't know. I didn't think about it yet. So it's been quite an intense year because I also published a book, not in England, but I published a novel in Italy. So I've
Wow.
been very, very busy in the last month. So I think I'm gonna have a little break for just a few months, and then we'll see what can I find out again. Maybe another woman composer. I don't know.
What
Let's
is,
see.
wow, a novel. So you're a writer. What's the novel about? Or
It's about kind of biography, because my story, it's been, I mean, my music journey was a bit particular, as I start very late in my life because I was a ballerina before. But unfortunately, at the age of 18, I survived to a house fire. So I had, got burned, my legs and my body. So I survived. So it's been a tragedy for my life. It's a completely change of life. So I couldn't walk for a long time, and that's why I started to play the piano. I used to play a little bit, but I wasn't in my goal of life being a pianist, a professional pianist. So I just wanted to build another Margherita. I want to build another woman, and I just wanted to have a goal. So music for me was a like a very important distraction from a very tough moment of life. And I just start playing hours and hours, and then I started in the Conservatoire in Milan, and I've been admitted one of the most important academy in the world. So I don't know, and if I look back myself, I don't know how I could reach all this, but it's, I think it's because I really had, I don't know, I come from a very tough moment, so that's why I was very determined. And so, and that this novel is about the story of this woman, which is me, and this is a journey of, it's a message, it's a very important message, especially to young people, to don't be, to don't give up, especially in the bad situation. We need to fight, we need to find another purpose in life. So for me it was the music, but you know, for everyone can be anything. So it's and also it's a message to say that we need to enjoy life and be happy and enjoy relation, be kind and generous with everyone. So
oh my goodness, honestly Margarita, that is so inspiring. I've just had goosebumps. I honestly didn't know this, my goodness. So it's out of something terrible, tragic, life-threateningly bad, came good. Wow.
Yeah, I think probably that's why I've been so empathized with Elisabetta, probably because I was a survivor too. So yeah, it's been very difficult, but I'm achieved a lot. So I'm very happy for what I'm doing and what I've done. And I think it's very important to, you know, I survived. So I, that's why it's important to me. Hopefully this book is going to be translated in English as well. But it's very important that people, and especially young boys and girls, find you know, don't give up to life, because life can be tough sometimes, and it's tough. So we need to accept that best situation happens to everyone, and but we need to be grateful for what we have every day. So, and music definitely it's a gift.
My goodness. Well, I can't really carry on from that. Yeah, I'm a bit speechless really, but this has been a remarkable conversation.
I'm happy.
Gosh, I don't think I've got anything else to ask you. I mean, I think listeners will definitely go away and search out your performances and try to discover Elisabetta de Gamberini. And I will look forward to listening to you in concert. You must keep us all posted online and wherever you're going to perform all over the world. And thank you so much for speaking to us
thank
about.
So much for this.
Oh, thank you so much. Thank you so much. And I wish you all the best for the future.
Thank you. Thank you so much for having me, Erica. Thank you. And Pianist Magazine, wonderful pianist. Thank you.
You're welcome. That was Elisabetta de Gamberini's Tamburin, and it was played by the pianist Margherita Toretta, who has recently released the complete keyboard works of de Gamberini on the Piano Classics label. Pianist podcasts are free, and a really good way of supporting us is by subscribing to Pianist. Visit our website at pianistmagazine.com and listen to us on YouTube by searching Pianist Magazine.